Welcome to our podcast, You, Me and Baby Sleep.
Join Em, Kat and Kirsty,
where we delve into the good, the bad and the ugly of all things baby sleep.
Hello everyone and welcome to You, Me and Baby Sleep with me, Em, Kat and Kirsty. This is our very first episode and we're both very, very excited to be here and to have you guys listening along to us. Our first episode is going to be on us and how we became sleep consultants and kind of take you right back to the beginning. So Kirsty, I'm going to ask you, did you access sleep support for your two, and like why? Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Em. Hi everyone. We were sleep deprived parents, and with Hunter, he was we were rocking him to sleep. When we couldn't rock him, we would feed him. And around 5-6 months, I was returning to work as a nanny, and I just was like, how am I going to get up for work in the mornings? Like, we'd sort of got through the first few months with me like laying in the morning and napping when he did, and I was like, I'm not going to have that opportunity anymore. I need sleep for me and for him. You know, how am I going to look after other people's children? So did some research, found a sleep consultant. She came to the house, and yeah, she was brilliant. She put a plan in place. She actually stayed. We did like the first nap together. And then she just gave me lots of support and guidance and a plan to follow to then continue. And I think I had WhatsApp support. It was so long ago, it's hard to remember. But I'm sure I was messaging her like, what should I do? But yeah, he was brilliant. He started sleeping through after the third night. So that was amazing. It meant that I knew when his naps were going to be and his bedtime, and that I was going to get a full night's sleep. He was going to get a full night's sleep. And that was really important, especially with returning to work and him coming with me. Then we had Athena, and the situation was obviously a bit different. I had a toddler to think about. We were also in lockdown, so I wasn't going back to work. And I guess I was just like, oh, she'll sleep eventually. And 14 months, I think it was. I was like, I can't do this anymore. She was pretty much the same, just waking hourly to feed, to sleep. So sort of some strong associations again. And yeah, we did some research and found another sleep consultant, started working with her. Again, she put a plan in place for us to follow. And she started sleeping through after the third night. So yeah, it was really like life-changing for us with both children. And don't regret it, and just look back and actually think, why did I not do it sooner for both of them? You sort of don't realize how mentally affected and physically affected you are by the lack of sleep. Just affects so many parts of your life, like your relationship and your friendships and just everything. So yeah, that was us. How about you, Kat? Did you use a sleep consultant for April? How was her sleep?
We did. I think I very much fell into the trap of babies will sleep when they want to sleep and it will all be fine. And it really was not fine. And I think, like you said, Kirsty, those first few months, you kind of just, you just get on with it, don't you? Because, you know, babies will sleep, you know, they're not going to stay awake forever. But I think like all the things you've talked about in terms of your mental health, the effect on your relationships, we were also in lockdown as well, which came with its own pressures. And I think it just magnified the situation that we were in. You know, it's not like I could drop her off at my parents and catch up on sleep because that wasn't an option. So for us, I think we just got to the point of no return. Like, we were assisting her to sleep. She was patted to sleep. Her nights were unpredictable. She was waking at 5 o'clock every day. And, you know, when the world's in lockdown, that's a long day to entertain a baby and get through on such broken sleep. So I actually had no idea that sleep consultants were a thing. I didn't know they existed. The information we were given at our antenatal classes about sleep was very much guided towards safe sleep. but nothing past that in terms of what to expect or how to improve sleep. We had a child that was awake for 7 to 8 hours every day, wouldn't nap. We couldn't figure out why. We was like, she's broken. I had numerous phone calls with midwives, sort of saying, you know, there's something wrong. She's just not sleeping. The information we got from them was just not helpful. So a neighbour of ours actually said that they'd used a sleep consultant, and I was like, I don't know what this is. What is a sleep consultant? She gave me her details and we had a phone call together. And as soon as I'd had that phone call, I said to my husband, we need to do this. It was expensive. And I think, you know, obviously with the world in lockdown, you know, and financials unsecure, it was quite a scary thing to do. But at the same time, I knew we had to try something because everything we'd tried so far just wasn't working. And the effects it was having on us, on top of all the other pressures, was just immense. So we started working with a sleep consultant. She devised us a plan to move away from the assisting her to sleep, to give us more structure to our day, and ultimately make her wake at a more sensible hour. And it was tough. It was really tough in the beginning. But I think knowing that you're doing something to make a positive change in the long term was so worth it. And like you, Kirsty, we had results. Definitely by night four, she was sleeping independently. She was sleeping all night. She was waking up more towards sort of 6:30, 7 o'clock, going down for predictable naps. And more importantly, she was waking up happy. And I think that just makes your day so much more bearable when you've got a happy baby and you're getting good rest. You can just be the best version of the parent that you want to be. So yeah, that was our kind of dabble into the world of sleep consultancy before I went there myself. But what about you, Em, and the boys?
So with George, it was different to you guys. I've never accessed a sleep consultant. What I did access, as in like to work with one-on-one, what I did do, again, because we were in lockdown from George being about 3.5, 4 months old, was, and again, I think it's because of being in lockdown and being on my own with a baby that didn't really do much, I had the time to research into baby sleep. And I came across things on social media, sleep consultants, because again, like you, Kat, I didn't know they existed until, you know, things started popping up on social media and your algorithm changes and everything's baby, 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 baby. So I then found some routines to follow and I messaged a few different various sleep consultants about, oh, he's wriggling out of his sleeping bag, what do I do now? Or, you know, all these different things. And I kind of made little changes like that throughout lockdown. And again, like you, he definitely for naps, there wasn't really much of a nap routine or anything. And for naps, we were definitely assisting him. Well, I was, because Scott was still working. But it was a mix of like rocking whilst walking up and down and trying to lie him down gently. And then if that didn't work, pick him back up again. And I just thought, this is just getting too much. Like, I'm getting dizzy wandering around a room, rocking you, and there's just too much going on. And he was a big baby, like, he was heavy. So I just through seeing things through social media and websites and whatever else, I just did things myself in lockdown on my own. And we did just phase things out. And I remember doing things very gradually, like every day, the motion of rocking would slow down and everything would slow down to the point where he was just put in the cot. And that's how I kind of did it with George. It was just kind of tapping into the freebies of things wherever I could, into social medias and things. And then with Ted was a completely different ball game. Everything about Ted is completely different to George, which was an absolute mind blowing experience. But he was born quite poorly, and since 5 weeks of age was just constantly ill, full of like mucus and would be choking on it. And the only way he could clear it was to vomit everywhere. So we're in and out of doctors, constantly on antibiotics. And the sleep that Scott and I were getting was minimal because we'd have to have him upright for him to obviously vomit. I'm sorry, this is really gross. But it's just what, it's truth. It's just what we were going through. The only way he would sleep was to be sat upright or rocked. And that was really hard, really, really hard. By which point I had trained as a sleep consultant as well as you guys. So I'm getting emotional talking about it, actually.
Oh. I think what's really interesting with your story, Em, is you self-taught. So many families will come to us and say, I've tried everything on Google and nothing's worked. So I think for you to have been able to take that stuff that you saw on social media and apply it and have it work for you is a massive testament, especially in lockdown, because, you know, I could barely make a cup of tea myself during lockdown. So the fact that you were going through that without the support of a sleep consultant is incredible.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think what's making me emotional is just going back to Ted being poorly. That was just like such a horrible time, because like, and then you feel guilty, the mum guilt, because George was 3, almost 4. He didn't ask to have a baby brother brought into the world. Like, his world was completely turned upside down, as well as ours, like trying to recover from a C-section, and him, like, somebody so small to throw up that much, like, it just wasn't normal. Anyway, we're all good now. And Drew, it's been a long road, but again, by the point he came into the world, I was trained as a sleep consultant and my knowledge was completely different to what it was with George.
It was almost a bit harder for you to implement, wasn't it? Because of him being so ill all the time. You felt like every time you got things going smoothly, it would be like a massive step back because he would have another period of terrible cold.
Absolutely. And I'd be thinking, right, now we're going to start it now. And then it would be, oh, he's poorly. Well, if it was a client of mine, I wouldn't be working with them, you know, and all those sort of different things, I'd be postponing it. And, you know, we were waiting on pediatric referrals and all sorts for him. And as soon, I think it was a few weeks before his pediatric referral, I just was like, no, I cannot do this anymore. I got to the point where I was getting him to sleep in the pram. And even that was then as much of a relief that was. It was then that was becoming not working for us either. Because then when it came to nighttime, like, we didn't have the pram and I wasn't prepared to bring the pram up here, and, you know, as well as the cot and the next to me and whatever else. So, yeah, I came up with a plan and I checked in with you guys with it, didn't I? And I said, right, I'm going in and this is what my plan is. And again, within, I think, 2 nights, not even that, I think the first night I did it, he didn't even, I think he cried a little bit.
And he responded really well, didn't he?
He responded really well. Naps was just, I think he just like flew with it. And then again, I think by about night 3 or 4, I'd got him from every 40 minutes to an hour waking to, I think we had 3 hours, three wakes a night. And now he's completely sleeping through, completely, bar the odd random night. Solid naps. And he's absolutely smashing it. So
I remember saying that we were almost like, oh, it was like he was ready for space.
He was so ready. And that was the thing.
They don't have skills to settle, do they?
No, he was just so used to needing to be upright or on us or being rocked or something, that neither of us knew how. If I had my sleep consultancy hat on, I knew what I needed to do. But as a mum, it was a lot harder. But yeah, rocking him, you could feel him pushing away. And he would arch his back and he would go so stiff, like stiff as a board. But there'd be no other way of getting him to sleep. Mm. And at that point, I wasn't prepared to start sleep training with him because I hadn't had him checked over by a pediatrician, which I really wanted to do. Yeah, and then as soon as I gave him some space, it was, and like in his cot as well, in his own room and all those sorts of things, he just, it was like water off a duck's back. He just...
Life-changing, yeah.
Like, literally.
I think it's just so... Like, you get to a point, don't you, where you're like, either you say it's not sustainable or your baby's actually giving you signs. So, you know, a prime example there is, you know, he was used to being rocked to sleep and held, and then he's pushing you away. He's physically telling you this is not serving anymore. And obviously, like, the sleep deprivation that you were going through as well, with the disturbed sleep and the fact that he was always on you and stuff, you knew yourselves that it wasn't sustainable. And it's when you get to that point, you almost get to these crossroads, because you're like, well, hang on, that's all I've known. I don't know what else to do. And that's when families kind of reach out, don't they? And they go, well, this has worked. It no longer works, but I don't know what plan B is to get them to sleep. But yeah, it's really interesting to hear how you obviously had such different experiences with both the boys, and it must be super hard to kind of approach it. Because even now, when, you know, if April has the odd random night, or, you know, something went a bit askew with her sleep after I trained, it was like, I know what I need to do, but doing it with your own is completely, it's a completely different kettle of fish.
Okay.
Got that emotional attachment. So that's a really interesting point that you touched upon as well. So yeah, we obviously all trained together, didn't we? That's how we met.
Yeah.
Back in, remind me, guys.
2021.
Wow. Yeah.
Were we in lockdown? We were, weren't we?
Yeah, I think probably.
Yeah,
we were probably open until 2022. I think that's what I tell myself anyway.
Yeah. Weren't we?
There were so many of them, weren't there?
We were in like tiered systems or some bullshit then.
Oh, yeah.
Rules were at that point.
Bubbles and...
Yeah, I don't know.
So we actually did our training.
Looking back, what we did.
Finally.
Like, crazy. But, yeah, that's a whole other episode.
Yeah.
Even lockdown. But, yeah, we all trained together, didn't we? I mean, should we talk how we took the decision to train and why we took that decision to train? Kirsty, do you want to kick off with?
Yeah, definitely. So we actually trained with the sleep consultant that I used for Athena, and Kat used for April, and you had got some sort of advice and stuff from her social media and things like that, hadn't you? So yeah, the lady that we use as a sleep consultant with Athena, I noticed that she was doing a training course, and I was like, do you know what? I don't know what I'm going to do about work when lockdown's over. I don't think I can go back to nannying because I've got two children now to think of to bring with me. Hunter's at preschool, so I need to be available for his pickups, and he's going to be starting school and things like that. And I was just like, how am I going to do this? So I was like, this is good. I could, you know, do this and work from home and work it around the kids. And I'm so interested in the sleep after being sleep deprived myself. So yeah, I am. Made the decision to start my training with her, and the rest is history. What about you, Kat? Why did you decide to start training?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, I was on maternity leave, and I think maternity leave gives you a whole, I think having a child anyway gives you a whole new prospect on, you know, an outlook on life, doesn't it? And I think because I was in lockdown, like obviously life pretty much stopped. So it just gave me so much thinking space. And obviously the lady that we used as a sleep consultant put out that she was offering training for people to become sleep consultants. And I mean, I love sleep anyway, like as an adult, I absolutely adore sleep. And I'm really fascinated by what it does to the human body. And I think having the experience of going through what we went through with April, I thought, you know what, if I can do something that makes people's parenting journey more enjoyable, because I feel I missed out a lot of the positives of those, that maternity time, because I was so sleep deprived and on autopilot. And I thought, if I can give something back that someone has given to me and help their child sleep better, help their family sleep better, help to save marriages and improve people's mental health, and you know, that would just be amazing. And I think my husband, he runs his own business as well, so I think a bit of that entrepreneurship rubbed off on me. And I just thought, like you, Kirsty, if I can have something that can work around April, something that really makes a difference, and it's something that I'm passionate about. I've never had a job where I've sort of said this is a career, because it's always just been a job for me. It's always just been I go and I pay my bills with the money that I make. Whereas this, I just feel so much of it is driven by personal passion, that it's that saying, is it? What is it? What's that saying where it's, if you enjoy what you do, you never have to work a day in your life?
Yeah.
That's kind of how it feels. So yeah, obviously I undertook the training and I met you two, which I think you've been the only friends I've made post-COVID. Because it is hard to make friends as an adult. But yeah, we obviously all met and clicked and gelled, and yeah, like you say, the rest is history. But what about you, Em? What was it that made you go for it?
So again, from having George and working on his sleep, that's where I kind of found out I had an interest in sleep, and like you, like there was a fascination to it. And then I saw the advert for the course on social media, and I'd looked into previous courses, but again, being on maternity leave and things like that, it just wasn't a possibility for me at that time. And then yeah, saw the advert for our course and showed it to Scott, and he just said, you're doing it, like book on it now, like you're doing it. And I was like, oh, about work, money, about work, about this. And he was like, don't worry about it, we'll cross that bridge when we get there, just go do it, like, you know, this isn't gonna kind of come round again kind of thing. So I just bit the bullet and went for it, and yeah, kind of the rest is history, isn't it? Like
we're here and here we are now.
So
the unstoppable force that we are. I think that's in, yeah, I also looked around, to be honest, but I looked around, I think, when did we train? October 21. I think it was like the year before that. So as I'd finished my sleep training with April, I think that's when I kind of was like, oh, okay, I could do this. And I started looking around, and I found there wasn't a lot of courses. And also the ones that were offered were really expensive, and again, you know, when you're on maternity leave, it's like that's a lot of money to risk.
I mean, literally thousands,
aren't we? Yeah. And you know, it's like a degree almost, like it's up there with like the cost, well, not quite the cost of a three-year degree, but you know what I mean, it was thousands. Yeah. And that's a lot to gamble when, you know, you're on maternity leave, you're not sure if you're returning to work, etc. But I think the fact that we trained with somebody we knew previously just built that trust, didn't it, guys? Of yeah. Oh, I can't, like, you know, Kirsty and I had worked with her before, so we knew, she knew her stuff, and you know, we knew we could trust her. So yeah, I think it worked out really well. I mean, we wouldn't be here today if we hadn't.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously we met each other, and I don't know about you guys, but like from finishing the course, well, from going through the course to finishing it to where we are now, like, you guys have been a huge support, and obviously we've built, you know, an amazing friendship from it, so that was obviously a huge positive as well.
I mean, since probably October 21, there's probably not been a day where we have not spoken to each other.
Literally. I think, yeah, I speak
to those first few classes though, where we were just like, don't know, be like quite shy. And yeah,
I think in the early days I was just sussing people out, because yeah, like, that sort of person where I will observe, and April's very much the same. If we go to like a social setting, she's more of an observer for about 30 minutes or so, and then when she figures out what's what, and I'm very much like that, and I feel that's what I did on that course. I kind of sat there, kept quiet, sussed people out, yeah, figured out who was my vibe, and slid into your DMs.
And I think also because it was over Zoom, yeah, definitely, because it was over Zoom as well. Not that it was a barrier, but it made, I think, making friendships harder than, I don't know, say being in one room all together.
Yeah,
yeah,
bathroom, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, we just clicked, and we've clicked ever since, haven't we, really, guys?
Yeah, and even now, like, we're still having challenges, you know, in our personal lives with sleep, like when they're ill, and obviously, like, you had TEDs, and, you know, they've had, you know, various things that they've gone through, and we've been able to support each other through that with, like, the knowledge we've got now, which is handy as well, isn't it?
One of the main things I'll always remember was when we all went through the nap transition.
Oh yeah,
that one from one to no nap transition.
Yeah,
oh, that was at the brutal. Same time.
I think that's another thing, because we've all got children at similar ages. We can go through, because again, like, I couldn't go out to baby groups because of lockdown. You know, I couldn't. A lot of my friends have got children of various ages, so I never had that friendship group of children that are going through what April was going through. So I think when we all met, and all our children, you know, we've all got children within kind of. Well, Athena's December. When George is October,
mm-hmm.
October, December is Athena, and then April's January. So they're all very close. So, yeah, I think that's really helpful.
But you all started going through it through the nap transition. I was like, oh, me and Kat were like, oh God, like we don't. And then literally a few weeks later, Athena started showing signs, but I was like, she's not quite ready. And Kat was like, unlucky guys, like I've still got a while. April loves her nap. Okay.
I'm having a two-hour lunch nap over here, guys. Enjoy.
And then a month later, it's just like, Basically, this is what's happening. And we were like, I think she's ready to drop the nap.
Literally, it was brutal, wasn't it?
Yeah, I just remember messaging you guys being like, right, it's 9 o'clock at night and this kid's still not asleep. Like, what's going on? Like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it.
Yeah. We can save that for another episode, though.
Like, definitely get that on the episode list. Definitely. I can't believe we're off the ground, guys. You, me, and me. Episode 1.
Episode one in the bag.
Yeah, looking forward to sort of discussing more things baby sleep with you all.
Yeah, so stick around, guys, because we will be delving into lots of topics to do with baby sleep and obviously sharing our experiences and knowledge as we go. So thanks for joining us, and we hope to hear from you all soon.
Bye, everyone.